Let us turn in our Bibles or bulletins to John chapter 4. We will be reading right now, starting together, verses 27 through 45. John chapter 4, verses 27 through 45. This is the Word of God. Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left the water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see, a man who told me all that I have ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows, another reaps. I send you to reap what you for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town, believe in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I have ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." After 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself hath testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you, in your mercy, reveal this word to us. First of all, through your prophets, through the apostles, and into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are the author and giver of faith and life. And we pray, Lord, that as we meditate on these verses, that you will help us to see in them what you are teaching us this afternoon, that you will work in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit to help us grow in our understanding of the mission that you have for this planet, which is your place, your planet, and for your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been fascinating for me as I go through the book of John to see how everything is interconnected. Everything is connected as you read chapter after chapter. And I'm not referring to the theme that John is trying to communicate to us through his gospel, because he certainly has something in mind, a goal. He wants to tell us about the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he organizes things in a way that help us to understand that. And I'm not talking about the messages that our Lord Jesus Christ preached again and again throughout the Gospel of John, that you can see that in all of them, Jesus himself has a theme and has a message that he's communicating. And when you put them all together, you can see the message. I'm talking about every single circumstance that you see in the book. The questions that are asked to Jesus, or the questions that Jesus himself asked to others. The miracles that he does, the places where he goes. Everything that he does throughout the book of John, you can see that is intentional, that he has a plan, and he's trying to teach us something as he was teaching the people at his time something. And I think if you like to see something, or you like to try to see something that all of these events have in common, is that the people that he is interacting with are struggling to understand the magnitude of what he is teaching to them. He's using examples of daily life and things that are earthly to talk about spiritual things, to talk about kingdom matters. And people are trying to understand, but people are struggling to understand what he's saying because they are focusing on the earthly aspect of what Jesus is saying. They cannot see beyond what Jesus is speaking to them. And I'm not trying to criticize any of them, because I can assure you that if I was there and I was hearing Jesus, I'm sure that if you too, you would have had the same questions, the same confusion, the same lack of understanding, because Jesus himself took time later to explain what he meant when he said what he said. A few weeks ago, we make a contrast, or we saw a comparison between Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman. If you remember, these are two very different people. Nicodemus was a religious leader, a man who has power and great reputation, while the Samaritan woman, who was a woman who was considered very low in society. And when you look at both conversations, Jesus with Nicodemus and Jesus with the Samaritan woman, you can see that it's basically, they mirror each other. They are basically exactly the same, because they are both human beings in great need of Christ. But I like to do today just a comparison, add to that comparison two more groups. The Jews, the Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, and Jesus' disciples. Now, I don't want to go through all the conversation that he had with each one of them, but I'm just going to mention one statement said by Jesus. Then after that, how each one of these groups, the Jews, Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, and the disciples responded to Jesus, and how Jesus then clarified and gave them greater understanding. And we will see the point again of he is speaking about spiritual things, things that are heavenly things, with human language, using metaphors or examples of daily life, and then they are struggling to understand Jesus. We have Jesus at the temple. And Jesus told, if you remember, those who were there at the temple when he was there, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus said these words to those who were at the temple. Now we jump to Nicodemus' conversation with Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Then let's move on to Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you will have asked him and he will have given you living water." Then the conversation with Jesus and his disciples, which is what we just read. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have a food to eat that you do not know about." What would have been your response to all these statements if you would have been in each one of these places? Here are their responses. The Jews told Jesus after Jesus said, destroy this temple. They said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? Nicodemus responded to Jesus when he talked about being born again. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered to, the Samaritan woman answered to Jesus' statement, sir, you have nothing to draw water with. Jesus didn't have a bucket. And the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. How about Jesus' disciples? You will think, oh no, they get it. They are Jesus' disciples. They've been with Jesus. They have heard Jesus. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Now, if we go to, again, the Jews, it is not Jesus who explained what Jesus meant, but it was John the Evangelist in reference to Jesus saying, destroy this temple. John said, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. Jesus explained to Nicodemus what he meant by being born again. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus responded to the Samaritan woman when she was wondering where he's going to be able to get the water. He said, everyone who drinks of this water, meaning the well, will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. And then Jesus said to his disciples when they were wondering who brought him food, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you see what is in common? Jesus said a statement using a metaphor, uses something that is earthly, physical, that they could see, to talk about something spiritual. But they couldn't see that he was talking about something spiritual, so therefore they followed the conversation with Jesus about something physical, noticing that it was just impossible to do what Jesus was saying that he would do if it was physical. Then Jesus goes to explain something that is spiritual. I think that we are not that distant from the disciples, the Samaritan woman, Nicodemus, and the Jews as they struggle understanding Jesus speaking about heavenly things. In fact, today, if somebody asks you, what does heavenly places mean? You still will struggle trying to figure out how to explain the spiritual world. We come together here to worship God. And you know that you are not just the ones. You know, this place is packed with not just people, but with beings, angels, gathering together here to worship God. It's the dimension that we cannot see. But Jesus, throughout his ministry, throughout his preaching, throughout his interactions, what I was talking about, all these connections that we see throughout the gospel, he's explaining to the people that are in front of him, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent, believe in the gospel, the kingdom of God is right now here. Jesus is the king, and he's explaining all these matters of his spiritual kingdom. And as we look at the conversation between Jesus and his disciples, we will see that the same thing continued to happen here. So there are four things. Sometimes there are three things or two things, four things, five points. Today, there are four things that I would like to highlight from these verses. When I say four, three, two, five, somebody can make more, somebody can group them into two, or somebody can make one point. Here, these are the four things that I like to highlight. One is living food. Second, living harvest. Third, living farmers. Four, living beings. Living food, living harvest, living farmers, and living beings. Living food. First of all, Jesus goes to that well and he's thirsty. That's why he asked for water. But as Jesus was thirsty, he was also hungry because he was a human being. And his disciples were hungry as he was hungry. I think that the disciples go and they go on the way to get the food, and they were also thirsty, but they couldn't get the water out of the well because they didn't have a bucket. So they go to get food for Jesus while Jesus stays there. Why did Jesus stay there, you might wonder? We don't know. It is possible that there is a conversation between Jesus and his disciples and he says, I have to stay here. But something I think that we know is that Jesus didn't say, I have a divine appointment with a Samaritan woman. That's why I have to stay here. Why? Because they were wondering why he was talking with her. So they left to get food, thinking that Jesus will be very hungry when they come back. If I was one of the disciples, when I was there picking up the food, I would have eaten something on the way. Maybe not being able to wait until I get to meet with Jesus. But that won't have been very polite. Jesus' disciples come, and when they come, they are encouraging Jesus to eat something of what they have brought. They have probably setting up the staff on a table or whatever place they have to get together to eat, and they just started to eat. They were very hungry, and they thought that Jesus was very hungry, and they said, Rabbi, eat. Now, they are not just saying, Rabbi, eat. John is telling us that they were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Which means that probably they have already encouraged him to eat, and he is not eating. Maybe he's still talking with them. Maybe he's still explaining to them things about the kingdom of God. And they are insisting, encourage him to eat something. And Jesus responded to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. I've never forgotten those words because in the past, when I started to serve in the church, I started to serve in my father's church, and he was planting a church in Barranquilla, Colombia. And when you are serving in church planting, you have to do all kinds of things. It is not that you just go and preach, and then you wait for people to come. You have to go and buy chairs. You have to go and buy music instruments. You have to go and buy things and do stuff, different kind of things throughout the day. Make transactions, open a bank account, communicate with people, visit people. Then I was just going alongside my dad while my dad was doing all these kind of things. At that moment, I'm an official intern because I was just volunteering and helping, but eventually I became an intern. But one of the things, one of my frustrations of serving alongside my dad was that my dad would be so focused in what he was doing that he would forget about eating. So we'll be going out, he'll be doing all what we're doing, and I'm thinking, it's noontime. It's time to eat. Where and when are we going to stop to get something to eat? And then one of the difference between him and myself is, not that I'm trying to talk too much about myself, but this important for the illustration, is that he was very patient, and I am a very impatient person. So I was little by little losing my cool. Let's stop being patient. It's already 12:30. It's already 1 o'clock. It's already 1:30, it's 2 o'clock, and no food around. I was wondering, I think that he has a food to eat that he haven't told me about. Maybe he's eating some snacks. And, to be fair with you, we have some arguments sometimes saying, This is why I don't want to go with you to do these things, because you always get so focused in what you are doing that you forget about eating. Jesus is telling his disciples that he has something to eat that they don't know about. The disciples may have been wondering, somebody, as you see in the text, somebody brought him maybe something to eat. They might have been wondering, maybe he found something in the desert to eat. But Jesus has something very important to teach to them through this metaphor. He's using this as a metaphor. He's saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Now, what is the will of him who sent him? Who sent him, first of all? Well, God the Father sent the Son. And the Son submitted to God's authority to go and do God's mission. To do the will of him who sent him is to do everything that God wants. We do the will of God when we follow God's law, when we follow his commandments. But here, specifically, Jesus is talking about the mission that he had. Why did he left town in Judea to go to Galilee and pass through Samaria? Because he was going to do the will of God. And what was that about? It was about sharing the good news with a Samaritan woman. What Jesus is telling them is, yes, food is important, but there is something that is more important than that. And that's why I'm here on earth. That's why I became flesh. That's why I humble myself, I empty myself, and I dwell among humans, is to come and do the will of him who sent me, which is to bring the good news to those who were in great need. The disciples, there is a thought by some commentarians that the disciples may have seen the Samaritan woman when they were going on the way to get the food. The Samaritan woman was coming down to the well and they were passing by, and because they were Jews, they may have not even looked at her at all. They could not see the mission. In fact, when they came, they have this question. What do you seek, or why are you talking with her? These are the questions that John said that were in their minds. Why? Because they were saying, why is he talking with a woman and with a Samaritan woman? But who have they asked? Is he sharing good news with her? Is he talking to her about the kingdom of God? They had no thought on that. Why? Because they were so focused in eating. That was their main thing. Let's get there. Rabbi, we have in their minds, we have these questions, but let us focus on eating. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Second, living harvest. Jesus said these words to them. As he continues to expand on what he meant by doing the will of him who sent him, he said, Do you not say, and what he's saying here is, there is this proverb. This is something that you guys say. This is something that you use in regular life to talk about things that you have to wait for. There are yet 4 months, then come the harvest. This is a proverb that comes from farming and from the regular life, but it has become part of people's conversation, that they will say, we have to wait. You know, they will say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Is you have to wait for something to happen. But Jesus says, no, this is not what is happening here. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see, the fields are white for harvest. The fields are white for harvest. Some commentarian also says that it is possible that when Jesus was saying these words, he was not just talking about something spiritual, but also to the fact that there were already people coming from the town to see Jesus. These are, look, Lift up your eyes. See the hill. They are coming down. Do you see them? This is the harvest. The harvest is ready. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. So the sower and reaper may rejoice together. Jesus have chose share good news with the Samaritan woman. How long did he have to wait to see fruit of that encounter? No long, right? People were coming because the Samaritan woman went and shared with them what has happened. But have you wondered why will people believe this woman? Think about this. It's a woman who had bad reputation. It's a woman who is hiding herself from others, and that's why she's coming at noon to get water from the well. Yet people believe what she said. People came to see Jesus. Why? Because she said that, isn't maybe this the Christ? She's not a theologian. Why would they listen to her? They listened to her because they were the living harvest that was ready. I think that this is very encouraging in terms of us sharing, going out and sharing the gospel. We'll see it in the world that it's impossible that people will believe the message that we bring to them. It is not relevant, we will think. It is not, they won't believe. It is impossible that they will believe. And yes, that's true. It is impossible. But the reason why it's made possible is because of what Jesus already told Nicodemus, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Which means that if one is born again, he will be able to see the kingdom of God. The woman was again was not a theologian. She didn't went through a evangelism explosion, 4 months of training. She just got word from Jesus about what was going on in her own life. And what did she do? She went right away and she just shared. This man hath told everything that I have done. Can he be the Messiah? It's almost telling them, come and see, check for yourself if he tells you the same. That's the living harvest. Now the living farmers, verse 37. For there the saying, another proverb, holds true. One sows, another reaps. Many years ago, I was working in a pharmaceutical company, and we hired a man that was working alongside with me. I was working as an engineer, and he was somebody who was learning with me, and he was working in logistics. So he was with me 8 hours a day because we were going this place and this other place and doing different things. And I was sharing the gospel with him these 8 hours a day in different conversations. I would bring this up and I would say this and, oh, like this and like that. And I was always bringing the conversation. And that went for, I think, a year or 2 years that we were then together. He was hearing me and he was very nice. I was his boss, so I guess he have to just listen. But he was very nice. He was very kind. Then I went to work in another company. This man didn't come to Christ. I didn't see him coming to faith. And I actually invited him to the church. He never came. And I went to work in another company. Eventually, I came to the States. And years after that, probably 7 years, I come across a post that he has on Facebook where he is not just a Christian, but he's playing the keyboard in a church. He's already serving in a church as a music worship leader. I'm not saying that he necessarily came to Christ through the intensive 2 years of hearing the gospel every day, because his mother was a Christian, from what I understand, and his mother was praying for him for a long time. And his mother may have shared the gospel with him many times, and many people were sharing the gospel. But after I left, after 5 years, maybe somebody came and should share one more time. And boom, something happened. He became a Christian. I don't know what is happening with him right now, but all I can see is that when I look at the proverb that Jesus is mentioning here, I was sowing and I could have been discouraged that I wasn't seeing fruit in his life, that I wasn't seeing him coming to faith. But that is not our role. We are not the ones who create new life in somebody's heart. It's the Holy Spirit. As Jesus says, he, God, is the one who gives new life to those he wants to give new life. What is our role is to plant the seeds. I send you to reap for which you did no labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. You see, Jesus planted that seed. The Samaritan woman came. The town came. Now they have to disciple all this multitude of people. Why? Because of the work of God. So these are living farmers. I'm saying living farmers because, again, Jesus is using a metaphor, an earthly example to speak about something that is spiritual, that is greater. Now, the last one is living beings. Look with me, verse 28. So the woman left the water jar and went away into town. Think for a moment that. She's coming with this water bucket, with this water jar to get water. That was essential for her life. It's the water that she's going to use to cook. It's the water that she's going to use to drink at home. It was an important tool for all what she did. In fact, in this conversation that she has with Jesus, she was struggling to understand that Jesus was speaking to her about something greater. Water that will calm her thirst. She was still focused on the bucket, on the well. But eventually, through the conversation, it's not just Jesus' words, it's Jesus' words and the power of the Holy Spirit that is changing this woman's heart so that she is now seeing that water jar as unimportant compared to what she has received. That make her to go to the town and go and tell people of the water that calmed the thirst for eternal life. The Samaritans from the town, many Samaritans from the town, verse 39, came and they believed because of the woman's testimony. And later, it is not just the woman's testimony. They ask Jesus to stay with them. They hear Jesus preaching to them. This is a stranger. This is a Jew speaking to Samaritans. And they all concluded, believe at the end that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Think about how radical this was. This group of people will never thought that the Savior will be a Jew because they were Samaritans. And Jesus, just with his testimony, with his words, with his preaching, with his powerful preaching, was able to bring all these people to faith in him, that he was the Savior of the world. Do you have a food to eat that we don't know about? What is your food? Is your food to do the will of God? Is your food to do the will of God? And that doesn't mean that now you have to go on fasting for days. But what this means is that the harvest is so important for you, for us, that you stay committed to the work of Christ, to the work of God, to the work of the one who sent you to accomplish his work. To be like the Samaritan woman, just to testify of what Jesus has done in your life. You don't have to be a Billy Graham or a super evangelist to do that. You just need to be willing, ready, and eager to share with others about what Christ has done in your life. Is that so important that in a conversation you forget about these other things that are maybe important and you focus on bringing the gospel. Remember that you might be sowing, you might be planting a seed that you will not see the fruit, maybe. There is the testimony of this pastor who shared the gospel with his three friends all his life, and then he died. And his three friends came to Christ after he died, when one was 80-something, the other was 70-something. Eventually, they all came to faith. Was he able to see the fruit? No. But today, they will be together, celebrating the joy of being saved by Christ. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that you are gracious and merciful, patient with us, who struggle to understand spiritual things. But we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit that revealed to us your kingdom, that revealed to us that our Lord Jesus is our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, the only one who can intercede for us before the Father, the only one who can save us, because the only one, he is the only one who have died on the cross, who is perfect for our sins. We pray, Lord, that you will give us that desire and that energy that our Lord Jesus Christ have to see the work of your kingdom as extremely important for our life, that we will forget about these other important things that we have in this world, so that we will share with others this wonderful message of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.